Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it today to Acts, the second chapter. We're going to be speaking about the miracle-working church, that church that was born on the day of Pentecost, the New Testament church, and it is and still is, it was and it still is, a miracle-working church. And so we just praise God for that, that we can look to God for power, we can look to Him for strength, and we can look to Him in times of need and in times of our own weakness. Well, Peter stood up and he explained to those Jews listening there at Pentecost that the Holy Spirit had been poured out, and he said, "These people are not drunk as you suppose, and what you are witnessing, what you are seeing here, is just the Holy Spirit has been poured out on these people." They began to speak in tongues, they began to get excited, they were filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and so that is God's will for us. And as Peter speaks to those listening there in the second chapter of Acts, in verse 22, he says this to them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." And then in verse 24, he goes on to say, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Well, brethren, that is the resurrection power. That very same power that came into the apostles on that day of Pentecost, that very same power that came into those disciples, that 120 that were in the upper room on that day of Pentecost, that very same power is available to you today. It is available to me. It is available to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. And I know if you're like me, there are many times when you feel powerless, there are many times when you feel weak, like the devil has your number and the devil has defeated you. But I say to you in the name of Jesus Christ that you have power, and just as Jesus Christ was attested by God to you, and by miracles, wonders, and signs, that very same Jesus, that very same Holy Spirit resides in you. And it resides in me, and because of that power, we can walk in the power of God. We can live a power-filled life. We can live a life that is full of victory and full of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God showed Jesus to be his son. He proved Jesus to be his son by the miracles and the signs and the wonders that he performed on the people in their midst, not only individually, but in great multitudes. Jesus healed all the multitudes. It tells us many times in the scripture that when Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, he had compassion on them, and he healed all of their illnesses. He healed all of their diseases. And so I believe it is God's will that he heal you. I believe it is God's will that he give you power. And many times we are convinced that we don't have any power, that we are weak, that we don't have the opportunity to receive the power of God, and that is just a lie from the devil, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I want you to believe, brethren and sisters, that God has power for you in your walk. And if there's nothing wrong with your physical body, praise God for that, but he has power for you to go out and fulfill your destiny, to go out and fulfill your calling. And if there is something wrong with your physical body, if you will just keep praying to him and ask him and step out in faith, go ahead and serve the Lord. Go ahead and move forward in what he has for you in your calling and your destiny. He will heal you as you go. It may be an instant healing, but it may take months or sometimes even years. And so God wants to heal you. He wants you to raise up your pallet, to take up your pallet and walk in your healing today. Well, in Acts 2:42, it continues to tell us here about the New Testament church. This is after 3,000 had come into the church, and it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Well, there's a message and a sermon or two right there in itself, but basically what Peter is saying is that the New Testament church was a church that was dedicated to the apostles' doctrine. Well, what is the apostles' doctrine? It is the truth of the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary, that he lived and he died on the cross, that he shed his perfect, precious blood for you, that he hung on the cross and shed his blood, that through his blood presented to his Father in heaven, that through his precious blood we could have our sins remitted, that we could have our sins washed away, and that we could walk in the power of the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the first, the apostles' doctrine, that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, that he rose bodily from the grave, that death could no longer hold him, that death no longer had any power or any hold on him, and he was risen from the dead. He went down to hell and he released and took captive those Old Testament captives that had been taken into Sheol and held captive, waiting for their redemption, waiting for the blood of Jesus to set them free. And that he went and he took them and he led captivity captive. It tells us there in Psalm 68 that he led captivity captive. In Ephesians 4, 8 to 11, he led captivity captive. He led those Old Testament saints up to the Father, and he released them into their redemption. He took them and he led them into their redemption by his very own precious blood. And the second thing is that fellowship, they enjoyed fellowship with each other. The New Testament saints enjoyed the fellowship with each other. They enjoyed the encouragement. They prayed for each other because they knew that they were uniquely set aside to do God's work here and to fulfill their calling and their destiny as the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. And then thirdly, they were breaking of bread, that is to say that they met to celebrate communion or to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to celebrate communion. Some people would say breaking of bread meant just to share food in each other's houses, and I'm sure they did that. I'm sure that was a part of their fellowship. But more than that, they broke bread in communion. They remembered Jesus Christ. He said, whenever you meet, as often as you meet, do this in remembrance of me. And so they broke bread in remembrance of him, and they remembered Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, who had just been with them 50 days before. And so they knew that to remember him would give them strength, it would give them encouragement, it would continue to light their path to remember Jesus and to remember that he died for them and to remember that their lives had been set aside by his precious blood that he shed on the cross. And the fourth thing that the New Testament church was noted for was in their prayers. And brethren, I pray that you would be in prayer. I pray that you would spend time in prayer, not only individually, but maybe with people on your block, maybe with people in your apartment complex, maybe with people in your cell or in your hall. If you're in prison today, maybe if you are in the fellowship, that you would meet with the brethren to pray for them, to pray for other people in the brethren, to pray for those that are lost, to pray for our government, to pray for this country, to pray for the Muslim countries, and to pray that God would intercede and keep safe this country and keep his blessings over this country, to expose the plans of the enemy and to keep us safe as we encounter all of the enemies trying to kill, steal, and destroy here in the United States of America. Well, those were the hallmarks of the New Testament church. And then in verse 43 in Acts chapter 2, it tells us, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And so we see right away that there was wonders and signs done through the apostles. I want you to believe today, brethren, if you're listening to me today, I want you to believe for signs, wonders, and miracles in your life. Do not discount the fact that God is still the very same God as he was on that day of Pentecost back 2,000 years ago. God is the very same God today. Jesus Christ is the very same Jesus that he was on that day of Pentecost, he is sitting at the right hand of God, and it is God's will that the church today be a church filled with the power of God. It is God's will that every single day you see something powerful and you see something miraculous happen in your life. If you are a born-again believer and if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you see something miraculous happen in your life and that you have an expectation that God is going to do something miraculous in your life. And I would just encourage you, brethren, if you have been beat down by a lot of teaching that says God no longer does those things, that God no longer is capable, that we don't need miracles anymore, we don't need healings anymore, or we don't need great faith, or we don't need prophecy anymore, I pray if you've been beat down by that kind of teaching, I just ask the Lord to break it off of you right now. I ask the Lord to release you into a belief that God is still the same God that was here 2,000 years ago, the very same God, the very same power that raised his son Jesus from the dead, that God will release you into believing for signs, wonders, and miracles this very day, this day in 2015. Well, Peter spoke to the people in Acts, the fourth chapter, in verse 29, he said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant Jesus Christ, your holy servant Jesus Christ." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so Peter is praying over the people. They had been threatened. The apostles had been threatened. They had been threatened to silence them and to shut them up. Well, you see the very same thing happening today. The church is being threatened. The church is being pushed around and pushed into a corner. And in America today, there's a grave danger that the church will be completely marginalized, and that is the attempt of the devil to silence the church. That is the attempt of the devil to silence men and women of God. And I thank God for this radio broadcast. I thank God that we can still preach over the airwaves and through the television and across the internet here in this country. And it is the devil's attempt. He will continue to attempt to try to silence the church. It happened in the New Testament church, and Peter just prays for them, and he says, let us have boldness. Let us have boldness, and that is God's will for you, brethren. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants you to have boldness. He wants you to step out and be bold in your faith. Don't be silent. It is not the time to be silent. It never was the time to be silent. It is God's will that we step out with boldness and we speak to those around us. Use the term praise God, wana asafiwe. Use the term praise God when you are speaking with people. Use the term Jesus loves you when you are speaking with people. Use the term God bless you when you're speaking to people. Close your conversations with God bless you. May God bless you. May God keep you and guard you. When you start to drop those kinds of phrases onto people, they'll be wondering, is he a believer? Is he a man of God? You drop those phrases on people and encourage them and strengthen their walk. Strengthen those who are weak. Strengthen those who have no faith. And ask the Lord to intercede in their life. Ask the Lord to bless them with the blessings that he has for them. The first recorded miracle in the Bible after the New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost, we see in Acts, the third chapter, and this is the first recorded miracle. Peter and John are going to the temple, and it tells us in Acts 3, verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who were entering the temple. And so they carried this brother up there every single day to the temple, and he had a cup in his hand, and he was begging people for alms. He was begging people so that he would have food to eat and maybe clothing and a place to stay. And so they carried him up there every single day. He had been lame his whole life from his mother's womb. And verse 14, it says, Peter, fixing his eyes on him, said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention. That is the brother that was crippled. He gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And in verse 6, Peter said to them, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And so Peter got his attention, and the man was expecting Peter to drop some coins in his cup and to bless him with some money. And Peter says, "I don't have any money for you. I don't have any silver, and I don't have any gold for you. But what I have for you, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and I give it to you." And Peter was speaking to him with boldness. Peter was speaking to him and stepping out in faith, believing God was going to do a miracle in this man's life. And Peter had just come from initiating into the New Testament church the blessings of the Lord and the greatest first gospel message preached in Acts, the second chapter, and 3,000 people had come to know the Lord. And so Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of confidence. He was filled with boldness. And so he spoke to this brother. He said, "I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Take up your pallet and walk." And so immediately the brother was strengthened. He was given a healing. And I believe God's will is for you. There's some out there listening to me today. You have weakness in your body. You have death hovering over you. And God wants to set you free. God wants to strengthen you. He wants to give you the number of your days that He has ordained for you. He wants you to walk in strength. And He wants you to be bold. And He wants to raise you up in your body, not only to save you, not only to set aside your soul for salvation and for redemption. He wants to save you. He wants to strengthen you in your physical body so that you can continue to fulfill your calling and fulfill your destiny and the number of days that you have been ordained here on this earth. And so I just pray, if you're in that position today, a place of weakness, and your body is racked with pain, or your body is racked with sickness and illness, I just pray for you today. I ask the Lord to touch you today. I ask the Lord to strengthen your body today. Lord, we just take authority over infirmity and sickness and weakness. We take authority over cancer. We take authority over high blood pressure and arthritis and crippling diseases. And I say in Jesus' name that the people listening to me today would be set free of those things which are keeping them from fulfilling their destiny in the kingdom of God. Well, I want to encourage you, brethren, with a short story here about something that happened to me in Costa Rica many years ago. And I was going to Costa Rica to preach to the indigenous people there in southern Costa Rica. And before I left, I had a prayer meeting with some of my brethren who were praying over me and praying over the trip. And one of the words that was spoke over me before I left was that signs, wonders, and miracles would follow me even to see the dead raised. And so I received that message. I received that prophetic word that signs, wonders, and miracles would follow me even to see the dead raised. I didn't give it a whole lot of thought. I just received it. And when I got down to Costa Rica, I preached several nights in a little village there in the Chirripó mountain range with the Quebecer indigenous people. And the last night of the crusade meetings, they came to me and said, "We need to go pray for Pastor Ricardo. He's very sick. He is very sick, And I noticed that he hadn't been there that night. And so I said, yes, we need to go pray for him. And at 9 o'clock that night, we went down into his little hut there in the village, a little 20-foot square hut, sheet metal with a little light in it, a little candle light in it. And when I walked in, I saw that the blanket was pulled up over his head. And those words came back to me. They echoed in my ears. Those words came back and it said, signs, wonders, and miracles would follow you even to see the dead raised. And I thought, this may be the situation that God is leading me into, where that prophecy will come to pass, where that prophecy will be fulfilled. And so there was four of us there. We went over and kneeled down beside the bed of Pastor Ricardo, and I pulled the blanket off of his face, and there was no visible motion in his chest. There was no visible sign that he was breathing, nothing in his nostrils that would indicate that he was breathing. I tried to find a pulse, could not find a pulse. There appeared to be no pulse in his wrist. And so I said to the brethren, we just need to pray, because it was going to be impossible to get him out of that place. It was a very rugged jungle and mountainous terrain, and the trails are very steep. Even in the daylight, the trails were very dangerous, and I knew there was no way that we could get him out. And so I just said to the brethren, we need to pray for this man. And we got down on our knees, and we started to pray. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, boom, the Holy Spirit came in, and it filled him up. It just put air into him, just like an air mattress being pumped up. And I just rejoiced. I said, there it is, the Spirit of God right there, the Spirit of God. And praise God, he started to breathe. And so we got up and we left. And the very next morning, Pastor Ricardo got up at 5:30 that morning and helped us pack up the horses and leave that place. And so he was strengthened. And I went back a year later and he was doing just fine. He was strengthened in his walk. He was strengthened. He received that miracle. And we believed and he believed and he received that miracle that God had for him. And that is God's will for each of us today, that we believe. Maybe you're not going to see anything as dramatic as somebody raised from the dead, but that we believe that the God that we serve is a miracle-working God. He is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. And that very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that very same power is here today. It is here and it is available to you today for those who believe. Hebrews 11:6, I'm going to close with this scripture. Hebrews 11:6 tells us this, that without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so God rewards those who step out in faith. God rewards those who believe that he is able to do that which we are unable to do for ourselves. And if you believe and you step out in faith, God will lead you to where he wants you to go. He will allow you to take up your pallet and walk, and he will strengthen you, not only in your body, but as your soul prospers, he will prosper you. And that is God's will for your life. Well, stay tuned today. We're going to have contact information, how you can partner with Gather the Outcast Ministry. And I pray that you do that. I pray that you come alongside and partner with this ministry. And I thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week.